Hello, members of the public. This is the Archives Task Force of the Pacifica National Foundation, and we are calling our meeting to order at 8:43 Eastern Standard Time, and I am going to call for the list of folks we have signed up so far to participate. Brian DeShazer?
Here.
Addie Gibbons?
Here.
A.C. Bird? Carolyn Burden?
Here.
Leslie Radford? Bonnie
here.
Simmons?
Here.
Susan Young? Here. Wendy Schrell? Not here. Nadia Ali? Teresa Allen?
Here.
Evelyn Bethune? Tibby Brooks? Sherna Gluck has requested an excused absence. Is there any objection to that?
Nope.
Okay. Con Hallinan? Melinda Eiley Doan?
Hello.
Okay. Margaret Prescott? Andrea Turner? Michael Woodson? Okay, and let me just ask one more time. Leslie, are you there?
No.
Yes, I'm here. I was muted, sorry.
Okay, no problem.
No.
Okay.
I'm stretching on couches.
The suggested agenda that I have is for us to discuss the agenda for 5 minutes, discuss Chair Pro Tem for the committee for 5 minutes, discuss when our next meeting will be scheduled, and that for 5 minutes, and then devote the remainder of the time to briefing by and discussion with Brian.
Is
there any objection to that agenda? Hearing none, we'll go forward. Who joined us? Did someone join us? Okay. Chair Pro Tem for the task force. Anyone wish to volunteer? I will volunteer to continue as convener until the meeting at which we elect a chair. Is that okay?
Sure.
Hearing no objection, we'll go forward. The regular meeting, and I'm hoping, I know that nobody in this group is shy, so please speak up if I'm not hearing you.
Madam Chair, can you hear me?
I just want to say Andrea here, Andrea Turner.
Great. Welcome.
Madam Chair, can you hear me?
Is that you, Teresa?
Okay. I just wanted to be sure. And so I don't know that you introduced yourself, Madam Chair. Maybe I'm wrong, but I want it to be clear that Susan Young is going to continue as convener for now.
Thank you very much, Teresa. I think I was on such a great roll that I forgot. I'm Susan Young. I'm from KPF on the national board, and the chair asked me to convene this task force. And the meeting date that we are on right now is the one that had been scheduled by the task force at its previous meeting. And maybe Bonnie, Carolyn, some of you all can tell me, has it been scheduled for the third Tuesday, evening of the third Tuesday in the past?
Roughly.
Do we want to schedule the next meeting for 8:30 Eastern Standard Time, Tuesday, March 17?
Okay.
St. Patrick's Day.
St. Patrick's Day.
I'm on a plane, so
I'm on a plane.
I won't
also
be able to be there.
Okay. How about the following week?
That'd be the 24th.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll be on a plane again.
Well, there you go.
I gotta tell you, that's a poor excuse in my mind. Okay, if we're okay, why don't we go ahead with the 24th, or does somebody have an alternative date to suggest? 24th it is. Oh, sorry.
I was going to say Wednesday the 25th, if Addie can attend. Addie's really important to these meetings.
Ah, I couldn't tell it wasn't Addie. It was Addie. Okay.
Okay, let me see. That's which month?
March.
That'd be March 8th, Wednesday, March 18th. I mean, I'm sorry.
Oh, I
thought
you said
25th. Wednesday,
March
25th.
I should.
Madam Chair, is anyone looking at the KPFTX calendar to see if anything's scheduled on there?
Steve. That's clear for that day. The 24th is clear. The 25th is also clear, a Wednesday.
Madam Chair, is that not the meeting for the KPFT local station board meeting?
I sure think it is.
25th is, right?
I think so.
Oh.
So we need to put those LSV meetings on the KPFTX calendar.
Oh, excuse me, the 18th is listed for the KPFT calendar.
18th is listed for KPFT, and there is potentially a program council meeting, but they have not as yet scheduled themselves. How about the 11th or the 25th?
The 11th is the BAI LSB Finance Committee. Not, I think you have too much overlap besides me.
Okay. How about the 10th?
Second Tuesday?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds good.
Is anyone looking at the KPFTX calendar?
I am, and that's clear also.
So Tuesday, March 10th.
Well, could I just ask, are we in a big hurry here?
Nope. I'll tell you what, one of the, I don't know that we're in a big hurry. We do not yet have this task force formed because we do not have people from most of the LSVs identified. So by meeting again, we would have the opportunity, perhaps, to get this task force really fully convened.
Yeah, KPFA won't be until after March 14th.
Okay, so then the 10th doesn't work for that either, does it?
Right. NFCB conference is April 1st through the 4th. We probably leave on the 30th. So maybe 27, 28 is something, when are those dates? Maybe we can table
Friday
this at
Saturday.
You forget that.
I like Brian's idea. Why don't we table this for now and we'll poll people?
Particularly once we identify them, we can email and get the date and the KPFTX calendar.
Yeah, I think we better do that.
Yeah.
I want to put my two cents in here. This is Teresa. I think we ought to go with Wednesday the 25th, but I'm just prejudiced. I have difficulty with the third Tuesday conflicts, but I have a feeling that we're going to end up with something like the third Tuesdays or something like in the future.
Let me ask again, and I apologize. Were there any objections to Wednesday, March 25th? Hearing none, why don't we go ahead and schedule it for March 25?
Good, thank you.
Okay, thank you everybody for your patience.
It's a miracle.
All right, next was Brian, take it away. Introduction, purposes, activities, expectations, homework, preservation, and access, 60th anniversary.
Right, that was fast. All right, so, Addie and I talked, and we were bouncing a few emails back and forth between Bonnie, who is the outgoing chair of this task force and committee for quite some time. So we really thought that it's high time that we looked at the task force again in terms of its purpose and what can it accomplish within Pacifica. One of the key things that we've discovered, one is that the growth of the archives work from the first NEA grant to now, the world of archiving has changed, the world of Pacifica has changed, and what we can do within the staff has changed. So we definitely have a different thing to go over and a different thing to sort of present in terms of how we can function within Pacifica and outside of Pacifica. So it's sort of like we have an opportunity to start afresh, is what we're saying. So in terms of the purpose, because we're not a full committee and a voting committee, I'm not really quite sure if this is a policy-creating committee. Bonnie described it as a support group and a working group, promotional group kind of thing. And another thing that I always thought that this committee should be is those people who could learn a little bit more in-depth information about the archiving work that we do to help inform the LSBs and the PNB when activities or motions come up that affect the archives that you wouldn't otherwise know unless you listen to Addie and myself blather about, you know, tape decay. I sort of wanted to open that up for a few minutes for a roundtable for, you know, one to figure that out amongst all of us. So
do I understand that your question is to us, what are the goals that each of us thinks are important for this task? What do we think we can contribute, want to contribute, hope to accomplish? Is that right?
Right, exactly. I mean, we know that, you know, even though you have great ideas and bring to the table some grant ideas, you know, that's really what Addie and I do and a bunch of other consultants and professionals do is bring that to the table already. So we don't think that that's really that kind of a working group, but there's a lot that we can do. And as we're changing, as we're developing, particularly with the campus campaign, you know, we haven't done enough work in the affiliate market. I'd hate to call it a market. The affiliate world.
Communities.
And really the open door and the opportunities with the campus campaign, now we really need your help. We need your help as, you know, like companions and colleagues and, you know, helpers in taking an idea that really is pretty phenomenal and has great seeds into what can really be the thing that saves the archives financially.
Let me try this. First of all, I'm taking notes, okay?
Yay. Thank you, Susan.
That's wonderful.
And one of the things that it would make it easier for me if we could do this in a couple of stages. One is perhaps go around and everybody say, this is what I think it should be, and then Brian and Addie can comment on that and say, you know, Teresa, you're full of hooey. And then it would be very helpful to me to hear about what exactly you need from us. What is the campus campaign? What do you need from us? What is the, you know, the timing? What is the preparation for the 60th anniversary? That sort of stuff. Let me ask everybody on the call, is proceeding that way okay?
Hello?
Hearing no objections, why don't we go around the room?
Carolyn, who just joined us?
Huh?
Tibby and I from New York, the
yes.
New York.
Yay,
and
great.
I
Tibby.
Excellent.
No, I'm sorry. I can't stay on
this
work. And we're working against some kind of deadline. I just broke out to call in and tell you.
Well, thank you.
Sorry.
Well,
I'm very
Susan,
sorry.
I like your idea. It sounds great.
Okie dokie. So let's go around. Tibby, do you want to just for 1 minute say what you hope to contribute or what you hope the task force accomplishes?
Well, I mean, what I was hoping to do is to bring more of the archive stuff into the station, you know, make it more live.
Bring more of the archives into the station. Is that what you said?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, great.
To make it something that's an integral part of programming, you know, whether it's
okay,
once every month or once every 6 weeks or whatever, special.
Okay, excellent.
I like it on a regular basis.
Okay. All right. I have Tibby wants more archives integral to local programming.
Programming.
Okay. Carolyn.
Well, I was going to suggest that we wait and hear a little more from Brian, because I'm a little bit unsure about the mode of communication back and forth, so maybe I'd like to hear a little bit more about what Brian has to say, what's been done, and what he thinks that we can do, and then maybe we can jump in after that. Is that all right?
I don't object to either order. Does that feel better to people? I know I don't know very much about the archives already. It might be helpful to me. Okay, Brian, you want to go and give us some background?
Excuse me. I have to get off this call. I'm at work.
Okay.
I'm
okay.
Really sorry. I just checked in, and, you know.
Gibby, thank you very much. We look forward to working
tomorrow
with
night,
you.
Carolyn.
Thank you for joining us.
And Tibby,
really
our next meeting is March 20, what is it, 25th?
Fifth. And Tibby, you may be elected chair.
That's the punishment for leaving.
Evelyn, you should jump into a meeting
nominee.
And leave.
No, fine.
Okay. We'll get you. We'll make you chair.
Get really good attendance that way. Okay.
Okay, so back to the Brian's update and where I thought. Well, I think I kind of sort of summed it up in terms of the purpose. Is I think this is a working support group. It's just a matter of identifying the activities that you can actually help us with at the station, you know, in your world, in the LSB governance world of each station. And, you know, there's enough people on this call that have been with this archive task force for as long as it's been here. You know, Teresa, certainly, and I can't remember the others, but so
Bonnie.
I actually wanted, and Bonnie, yeah, well, actually, I was just going to say I wanted to pass to Addie and Bonnie to give their background and then maybe Teresa, and then that way their experience into this task force and what we've been able to do and what we've been able to not do can then inform people like Carolyn who are sort of new or unsure of what we're doing.
Seems
but for
familiar.
Me, yeah, thank you. I'll pass now.
Okay, is it Addie or is it Bonnie?
Good, Addie.
Oh, yeah, I've got a, I have the I don't know where to start problem. So, I don't know where to start.
Oh, you're good at this. Just dive right in there.
It into what? Like, what we're doing with the preservation and access?
Why don't we, why don't you answer this, Addie? What do you hope for the members of this task force to help you and I with?
Okay.
You can start with fantasy land and then go to reality, or start with reality and fantasy.
Okay,
no
so
disrespect, certainly.
A really long-term fantasy land, you know, has to do with what has just been said here about having the stations be aware of what kind of resources the archives have and what kind of really valuable and supportive programs the archives can help with and can provide, you know, for the stations and for different producers. And that's a big kind of educational effort that we've always been trying to do, but it's actually more difficult than one can imagine, you know. So that is one thing. Another thing is that for my main concern with the archives is that I'm the coordinator of the Preservation and Access Project, and what that means is that the historic collection, the programs that have been sent to the archives over the years, that are mostly from the 60s, 70s, 80s, up to the early 90s when the technology started really changing, those programs that are mostly stored on reel-to-reel tape, those programs, many of which are this incredibly valuable record of American history that exists nowhere else and that, if it gets out into the public, becomes part of the view of history, and if it doesn't, that history kind of doesn't become part of the story. Those materials are deteriorating, and they're in an inaccessible form. And even though we've tried really hard to make the cataloging available to the public, the way that people, you know, use searches and all that kind of thing now, as opposed to when we started out. You know, it's just not up to snuff in terms of the way users would use it, and it's also not really to the form that is compatible with a lot of major national libraries and other kinds of archives that also have what we say like are parallel or compatible materials that especially scholars and journalists and documentarians and students and educators look for. So we want to be able to, first of all, you know, save the materials as they are, get them appropriately digitized and transferred into formats that are usable now in, you know, as many ways as possible and as many versions as possible, and to be able to get that description around so that when people are making searches, they see that we have that kind of material. That is an enormous task, and it's unlike digitizing something like, you know, the masters from Columbia Records or the masters from Turner Broadcasting, because they're not done in any kind. The things that we have are things that were sent by producers. They weren't done in any kind of uniform way. So it's not just that the material is deteriorating, it's that the formats vary a lot. So each one has to be handled individually. So what we've been trying to do is to be able to identify the most valuable materials, be able to find out if we own the copyrights, be able to transfer them into formats, you know, multiple formats so that in multiple places so that they'll exist in the future, and be able to get the descriptions of them, you know, the fact that they exist out there so people can find them, and also so that people will know that they're there. And we started working on this, how many years ago did we figure, Brian? Seven?
Seven, yeah.
Yeah, like we started working on it 7 years ago. And 7 years ago, every single thing that I just mentioned has changed radically. But we started out trying to do this, and we could only do it kind of bit by bit, because the Preservation Access Project is really only one part of what the archives does. And the staff is incredibly small. And in fact, right now, there's no professional archivist or cataloger or IT person, you know, at the archives. So I'm the professional archivist who's associated with the archives, and I can only work with the archives to the extent that we get some hours paid for in some of these grants and that the archives budget can support a little bit. The same with actually physically dealing with the tapes. They cost, you know, up to $250 or maybe even more for some one of these tapes. And we're talking about, you know, like $40,000, $50,000 to, you know, be able to be digitized and for the cataloging to be corrected. And then it takes a lot of staff time preparing the materials to be outsourced to professional duplicators, to people who really know these kind of materials well enough to be able to handle them correctly. And then it takes an enormous amount of staff time to then take them back in and get them back into the collection. And the whole this whole kind of work, this archival work, is very, very different. I've been a radio documentarian for a long time. Brian's been producing programs for as long as he's been at the archives. It's very, very different than that kind of work. It's very, very different than the work that takes place at the stations. And we really, it's difficult for us to explain to the board or to the stations or, you know, to the organization what this kind of work is and how valuable this collection is and how really difficult and expensive it is to preserve this material and make it part of world history. So right now, actually, we've sort of come to the point where we've done pretty much what we see that we can do in terms of doing things piecemeal, bit by bit, because in these, like, 9 years, how many tapes have we really managed to save?
Probably about 600 by now, including the new Grammy grant, which had 300. But, yeah, we're about 700 to 800 at the grant level, the highest standard. You know, I always sort of pitch the highest standard when we do the grants through the Grammy and the NEA. They actually set the bar of standards. And in some cases, we go over the bar so that we could actually have a user copy within the archive so that producers can utilize it.
But how much it costs and what the standards are is something that varies within the profession. And unlike a lot of things that have to do with computer-y stuff, this cost has not gone down. It's gotten higher.
Pardon, 700 to 800 hours?
Yeah, is pretty much
Grammy or NEA level?
Yes.
Yeah.
And out of how many hours total you're trying to preserve?
Well, we don't know hours, but we know items. Like, what would we say, Brian?
Yeah, somewhere between 50,000 and 55,000, because we've gotten a lot of tapes sent to us since the last inventory from Texas. KPFT's tape library was sent to us, and it's in cold storage, and we haven't even had time to look at it. Back to Sue, sort of the question at hand, if we could sort of fast forward a little bit or let me help Addie.
Mm-hmm.
That was a lot of information, and thank you so much. That was pretty brilliant description of the burden of preservation, not to mention program services and program and development and fundraising and outreach and all the other things that we think we need to be doing. And even then, that's the short version. That's the short version. just a quick question to you, Addie, and then let's continue around
mm-hmm.
to Bonnie. All right, so within that scope, Addie, what
mm-hmm.
do you think this archive task force can do for us?
When we come upon certain projects like the brilliant idea of the campus campaign is also a hugely burdensome one, and we have remaining something like about 70 pledges for people to give the archives. What did we call that product, Brian?
Oh, yeah. Well, they did it already, so it's not a project anymore. But what we were thinking
No,
of,
no, it still is a project because it hasn't been given to the schools. Is that correct?
No, we already
shows?
Did. Yeah, no, they've already been sponsored.
Oh, right. They've been sponsored, but the schools, there are 70 sets where the schools haven't been selected. Is that right?
No, they have been selected.
Oh,
I'm sorry. They already did the work. Like within a day, the staff did the work that I thought we were going to ask you guys
You're
to do.
You're kidding.
But let's just set an example.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Thanks to the staff.
Wow.
But basically, ladies and gentlemen, what we had was the campus campaign where people called and sponsored. They didn't name the school, but they said, you choose the school for us. So we had 70 open slots for school sponsorship. And we were going to ask you, the committee, to actually go and find schools for us that would be appropriate for the campus campaign. But somebody already did it. Some volunteers came in and did it today.
Yay.
But that does not mean that this is not a task that you can do. Because in fundraising, you know, I plan to use the campus campaign to have people donate to it, overall, so that we can have open spots for schools to be sponsored if a teacher requests it. You know, if you can connect with the school where you think the materials can go to, then that's, you know, that's the kind of help we need, right, Addie?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Brian, may I ask a question? This is Teresa. May I ask a question?
Brian, yeah, Teresa's got a question for you.
Yes.
Brian, could we have a for the Pacifica stations when they play from the vault?
when they played it from the vault, could we have something tacked on to say, if you would like to make a donation to send this to the campus library of your choice, contact this number. Could we do that? I mean, we might actually get takers.
Right. I don't know. I know that, you know, for the affiliate version, we're not allowed to do that because we can't fundraise on the other stations. Mm-hmm. In fact, the tag that we have within the program says, we'd like to thank the Pacifica listeners who sponsored over 700 schools on our campus campaign. For more information, go to our website, and that's it. And that's mm-hmm. even sort of riding the line, and I might mm-hmm. even pull it just for the sake of figuring it out some other way.
Right.
But the five Pacifica stations might let us do it. And I'm on the, I'll be talking with the GMs tomorrow and Thursday. So I'll put it to them to see if they would accept a little tag within the program for that purpose. Does that help?
Yes, because I was just walking through a school last Friday. I got a tour of the school, and I thought how nice it would be if one of their benefactors or one of their graduates thought, maybe I have a couple thousand dollars and I would like to donate to the Pacifica Archives and have that the collection of Pacifica recordings put in the library of that school. But we need to be maybe tagging it on to something that they hear that might prompt them to do that.
Right. Well, here's the cool thing, that we've created a tool for just this kind of discussion. We launched a new blog site called intheschools.org, and I think that's it. I'm going to check that out, too, and if somebody's online, check that out, intheschools.org. It might be intheschoolsblogsite.org, schools.org. And that is a blog site for the campus campaign, so we can post, you know, a request for schools to be sponsored, and you can help with that. And that'll also give you a way to...
One word?
No, actually, no, that's not it. intheschools.blogsite.org.
It's not blogspot.org. I just checked that one. This is Leslie.
Okay. All right, I'm going to go to the PacificaRadioArchives.org site, and then there's a campus campaign link. Sorry to take up your time.
Well, while you're doing that, let me ask a question. So we had the archives fundraising day, and you raised, I think, what was it, over $160,000?
Right. We've booked about $149,000 of it, and we're still not completely fulfilled. We still have another round of bill me's to send out. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're looking at maybe 90% fulfillment of the 167.
Really?
Holy.
Wow.
And it is intheschools.blogspot.com, .org.
Okay.
All right, so
Can you repeat that, please?
intheschools.blogspot.com.
Okay.
All right, so that will show you the United States map and little dots where all the schools are that were sponsored, every single state in the union, yay. Over 700 schools were sponsored. We are just now finishing up the data entry and the data crunching. Sean Dulles doing some amazing data crunching. And all the campus campaign items will be sent to librarians and department heads of schools of study this coming week, or actually this week, and then starts the creative work of how do you connect with those schools and those teachers and department heads and librarians to get the materials used in the schools.
I have a question, Brian. This is Leslie again. Can this be made available to an entire school district?
Yes,
I'm sorry,
they've got
a way
of dealing with it.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand the question.
The question was, can this be made available to the entire school district, which means that, what does that mean? Does that mean copies to everyone in the district, or does that mean getting somebody in the district to be able to deal with it?
Well, I would assume it would mean copies, because what I know of school districts, there's nobody who could deal with it.
Well, sure, if somebody knows what every school in the district is.
Well, I work in the Community College District, and I could name them all for you in LACCD,
for instance. So the thing is, if you could go, if you could use one of these blog tools or something like that, or personal contact to get a hold of people and create a little campus campaign around that school district.
Directly to the librarian. They ask me every year for recommendations.
Yes, that was excellent. That's a great, that is such
but
a great idea.
Can I go to, you know, can I offer this? Is there a way to offer this to an entire district at a price? I mean, you know, can that be done? Can I go through LACCD or VCCD or Pasadena and, well, Pasadena is only one school, but get it to the entire district?
And the response is?
Brian?
Yes.
I don't see
yes.
any reason why not. I don't see any reason
Absolutely.
Why not.
Okay.
In fact, Armando Godinho, the program director at KPFK, is going to the city of, I want to say Pomona, but I think that's wrong, but wherever he lives, city council. I mean, he's presenting the campus campaign to the city council. Oh, Downey. It is Downey. The city council of Downey knows Armando well. If you know Armando, you'll believe that. But he's at he's getting stoplights, in intersections corrected in the town of Downey. But he intends to take the campus campaign to them to get funding to bring that campus campaign copies to the Downey School District schools.
So that's brilliant.
So
that's a brilliant idea. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're creating a 1-minute presentation in audio for the city council, whatever their public time limit is thingy. So when we do that for him, maybe that's something that we could offer to everybody, and we'll post the link on our blog site so that it can be used for presentation for librarians or whatever it is. Because right now, with the mailing of those campus campaign sets to librarians, we're composing the letter that tells them what the heck it is that they just received, and try to motivate them to include it in the library and try to make it known to teachers for use rather than throw it in a bin somewhere for later as junk mail.
Okay. If I can come by the station, Brian, I'll pick one up.
Sure.
Presentation.
Hey, Brian, I'm just looking at this. Could we get a direct link to the campus campaign blog from the first
page
where it says campus campaign blog?
Yes, I'm working with Oleg, and I do intend to include
great.
That.
Yay, Oleg. Good. Okay. So that's a great idea. That's the kind of thing that's a fabulous idea that can help.
Yeah.
Right.
Questions?
Oh, thank you.
Sorry, who wants to talk? Carolyn, if I may.
Sure.
Thanks.
Go ahead, Carolyn.
I asked because I asked that question because I really did want to know what developed, and I think that I'm sorry, but Brian, I was on early task force.
I can't hear.
I was on the task force early on. The problem is that I didn't feel that there was a lot for us to do because it was done so brilliantly from his side. So this campaign is absolutely fantastic. And now listening to it, I'm thinking that maybe the follow-up is the next step. Wondering if we could be involved in that, helping develop tech information to make sure, as you say, that the material actually gets used, contacting teachers or the language teachers or whatever, social studies teachers, and the librarians to find out what they're doing with it, questionnaires perhaps to help them use it, materials if they need it. Is there anybody working on that? And have you thought about perhaps getting PhDs from library schools to help with the cataloging, that sort of thing?
Whoosh. The cataloging part I want to let Addie talk to, and I, you know, we're still in the land of going around the room to see what everybody thinks this Passport is. So I'm sorry if we're taking too much time on Q&A, but I guess that's the organic way
of it. Teresa, I'll go next.
Okay. But the question was, I lost the question.
Well, the first thing was help develop the next steps.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Oh, in terms of like PhDs. I mean, Lamont Yakey, who is still on the KPFK LSB, he's the one that really sort of took, you know, from the vault, compiled it for his class at Cal State LA. So right now we're working with him, and, you know, ultimately, I think the, you know, the fantasy goal is that this collection, or a collection, not necessarily from the vault episodes, but raw material that is compiled by educators is turned into formal curriculum. That's my dream for the thing, but this is like really baby stages and certainly more of a marketing thing than a academic thing. But what I'd like to do, you know, this stage is making the connection with the schools. That's what we got the listeners to do for us, is make that connection. My next step is indeed trying to market what I'm calling the lesson plan, which if you listen to the fund drive, or you can go to the website, and if you listen, go to the schedule of the campus campaign, you'll see a Mumford Hour. And that's Mumford High, the high school in Detroit that we went to and played the lesson plan in the classroom. That is actually proven to be really, really important and very new and creative and innovative. And that's what we sort of want to create, is the lesson plan, and that's the thing that we want to be able to market and sell to the schools and the teachers, or have somebody sponsor more funding so that more schools can get the lesson plan as well as the materials in the library. So there's a few creative ideas going that way.
Yeah, that's really what I wanted to know. Who is developing the lesson plan, and is it geared to which levels, and is that plan moving along, or is that something we can help with, or is that already in the works and you're doing it?
Well, with Mumford, we focused on the civil rights and Black power and basically African diaspora recordings. We try to be as diverse as possible within the scope of our own knowledge. And we know that we do want to expand that, because we didn't pay attention to any of the other 8 subjects in terms of lesson plans. But the basic concept is using small excerpts of the historic recordings and letting the students find music or artistic expression of how they relate to that recording. And that's what we can actually creatively work with the educators with. So here's the deal. We are going to be going back to Mumford High School in April with Allie Willis, who's a major donor and one of our creative forces with our Sound of Soul project. And our BBC journalist, and I'm meeting with a proposal for a documentary filmmaker who will be doing a documentary film on the campus campaign and how we work with students across America. So we might be able to get funding in a different way to maybe go to a all-white school in Mississippi and do the same kind of lesson plan and get different data or different reactions from a different geographical demographic, that's the word, demographic. So there's a lot of exciting creative thought going into it already, and I think that's where the blog site comes in. Like, if some really cool thing comes in mind, post it on the blog site, and let's just sort of ingest all that really great creative energy that everybody's so impressed with the concept. And now I'll pass on to, I don't know, Bonnie, Teresa, Susan, decide, you decide.
Well, let me get my 2 cents in. This is Teresa. I think definitely helping us help you. I really have depended a lot upon the leadership of Brian, and we seem to be going everywhere because there's so much that could be done. The campus campaign is a brilliant idea, so all of the ideas that Addie suggested, just more of the same. I guess sometimes you need to help us help you just by being a little bit more specific or kind of doing these brainstorming sessions. But 2 things that are concern to me that it, to me, I think should be a focus of the archives is One, how the archives can do more for the affiliates, and I think that it would be useful to have the affiliate coordinator on the call, and somehow think of ways that the archives can help pitch for the affiliates and somehow help them better use our premiums. Because I think that when we help the affiliates, it helps us. The other thing is, I want, this was mentioned by somebody else, I think it was Addie, that I want the program directors and the programmers to know better what we have at the archive.
To do what?
To know what we have at the archive so we can use them more. I just heard we played a special archive item today. I don't know that I heard that it was from the Pacifica archives, but we played it at 10 o'clock, and it was like a Black History. A.C. Byrd was on it, so it probably was a Pacifica something. It was a two-hour archive. Hour and a half or 2 hour our archive special on Black history, and with extensive quotes by A.C. Byrd, who's on the national board. So
that was the W.E.B. Du Bois special that we did for the 100th anniversary of the Souls of Black Folk.
And I'm just not sure how many. I'm not sure how many programmers use those things, because somehow I don't think that we're getting enough to the programmers to know what we have in the archive. And the third, the two and a half thing is, I don't think that our programmers are submitting things to the Pacifica Archive. For example, Tulia, Texas had a serious problem with a guy that sent about 50 people to prison for drugs, and he was caught. They were sent primarily on his own word, and it found out that he was, you know, faking all kinds of evidence to send people to prison.
That was a great story.
There was just I remember several years ago a radio show on Pacifica. I was driving to a local station board meeting. I heard this on KPFT, but I asked my program director, can I get a copy of that? And no, they can't find it. And I think that's happening right now with our programmers that are not properly. I mean, we put it in our archive so you can listen to it for 2 months, but after that, if nobody's made a copy of it to send it to our national archive, where does it go? Where is it ever cataloged so people can access it? I mean, we have people that are interviewed that might be future presidents of the United States, Secretary of State, scientists, you know, political and activists. We have all these people interviewed on our public affairs programming and news programming, and I don't think they're sent to the archives. So I think we have to be relentless in training and insisting that our program directors and our programmers give things to the archives. So that's one of my little pet peeves that I think should be a higher priority. Thank you.
Okay, Bonnie.
Sure. I come to this from many, many years of work in radio, and through the music industry, I've done a lot of licensing. I have brushed up in different ways against much what Addie and Brian work with on an archival basis, and I know enough about it to be pretty daunted by what we're really able to accomplish and what we've got money to be able to accomplish in this, particularly in the digital world now, which has made in some ways some of the things we do a lot more complicated because of the inability to control right once it goes out into the digital world. What I think that this task force can do and does best and can maybe improve on is if we can just remember to be getting from you guys, Brian and Addie, the information on... Is there, I'm getting like an echo coming back. It's really hard to talk.
Sure are, and I don't know what's wrong. It's just with you.
What do you mean?
Very well. It's coming back at me. Everything I say is coming back at me. So it's hard
at the moment. But you're the only one where there's been this kind of echo.
Isn't that called a mixed minus?
Weird. Okay, because I'm on a regular landline. But well, let me try. If I sound split,
aren't doing,
two,
it's not happening
way.
Now.
If we can get information earlier than we've really been able to in the past, when we're going to have archive fundraising efforts or things like the campus campaign, I think everybody in the network is. Cuts it way too close on promoting things. I think that we assume because we're on the inside and we tend to know about stuff that the audience is going to pick up on it in 1 minute when we have not really given them any time to catch their breath as far as promoting things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we were able to, on the committee, always make sure that we're getting the information, you know, rather than a couple of weeks before a special is going to air, maybe it's even, you know, 6 weeks before, we can do a better job of not only whatever we feel is fitting in our communications with the network and the stations, but getting information out into the world to help support whatever the efforts of the archive are. I agree with you, Teresa, about wishing that there were a way to send everything that we do to the archive, but, and I certainly would throw this to Brian and Addie, I don't think if you're still thinking in a physical sense of tape or CD that it's possible, but I think that what we might be investigating is making sure that we are capturing things that are not going to be permanently archived through the station websites, capturing them on hard disks, now that we've reached the point of tera disks that can hold such enormous amounts of material. I would hope, because I think the archive might be the best place to kind of work on things like that through, that perhaps there are some plans to try to use the archive as a sort of receptacle for programming in the years to come. As far as the things that are really close to my heart are twofold. One, how we can help make the communication and availability of things clearer to the station so that we can not only have better programming on the air using things that are in the archives, but also help the archive by every time that we're using things like that, giving the archive another boost and another mention so that people become accustomed. You know, the archive doesn't have its own venue. If you think of each of the stations as a venue, the archive as part of the network is the one thing that doesn't really have its own. Because when it comes to people on the air, it's coming through the stations. And the preservation and access is really important and exciting stuff to me. But as I said early on, I know enough to be a little bit daunted by the cost and the amount of energy that has to go into this stuff properly. I'm a little bit more of a slash and burn person than either Addie or Brian are about the preservation of tape, just because I come from radio and from an artist, musical artist perspective, where sometimes you don't worry about it being absolutely the most pristine techniques that you use to record things. But I do appreciate and respect the fact that they're trying to do this in the very best way that they can. But and that's pretty much it for me tonight.
Look, let me make a suggestion. This is Susan. This is a lot of information, and at least I would really kind of like to chew on what it is. I don't think I heard immediate things, we need you to do X. There were lots of ideas about ways that, for instance, the board and volunteers and so forth would be able to help expand upon and augment the campus campaign. But there are a lot of ideas that are here, and I'm with Bonnie, daunted by how enormous the things are that are sitting here as possibilities and needs with this asset. And so I, anyway, am kind of a little, you know, just trying to figure out what are the ways that this task force can be really helpful. It seems to me that there are some things that we can do perhaps more quickly, which is to try to be advocates at our own local stations for making better use of the archives and promoting the archives, as Bonnie suggested, when we do use them. And I'll bet that there are some stations that do a better job than others. We might be able to, you know, call on those models to encourage people to do likewise. And the, you know, and better communications or broader communications with the affiliates, which is one of the things that both Brian and Teresa mentioned. Let me ask Brian another thing, which is, can you give us a little background on the 60th anniversary and your planning for it?
Yes, it's going to be fast because there's not much to tell. You know, there really has not been very much time between the fundraising and the grants. We're actually in the middle of a two-year Grammy grant. We're in the middle of a National Endowment for the Arts grant, and this week we are in the middle of applying for another NEA grant and planning with a collaboration on an NEH grant, which I'm not sure is really worth talking about because it's just too much information. So I haven't really gotten a chance to remember the question. Goodness gracious. Really, what was the question?
60th anniversary.
60th anniversary, thank you. So we haven't done much planning. In the meetings with the general managers, KPFA is doing their 60th anniversary local action, and they've been creating a premium that they've been pitching during their fundraiser, and Amy Goodman has pitched this at, I know KPFK, but maybe some other stations too, which is 60 Years, 60 Voices, a collection from the Pacifica Archives. KPFA made it very KPFA-centric. It's mostly it's all Berkeley broadcast materials. But it is worthwhile for the entire network as a piece of history. With KPFK, we created, by the way, the 60 Voices, 60 Years is not yet finalized, both because we don't have all the materials that were included in the list, and some of the materials have not been confirmed that they actually exist. So we're still working very closely with Sasha Lilly and Vinny and Lemlem. And KPFK, we created a 50 Years, 50 Voices for their last fund drive. Only two people called in on it. So we sort of created it and are working with those donors individually for some materials that they like. So for the 60th anniversary on the total, on the 50th anniversary, they did 200 two-minute PSAs that were written by a group
they?
Of producers. I'm sorry?
Who's they?
KPFA?
Yeah.
Who did it, Brian?
The group of producers included Jenny Z. Burson, Laurie Garrett, I think, and Addie, you know more about it than I do, actually, because you were there. This is...
That was KPFA in the 30th anniversary.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Okay.